Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
The first Viewpoint of 2018. Joining me in the studio, Nathan Thomas, Claudia De La Torre and Campbell Ferguson. 952-784-000, the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. And it is to the internet we go, to the email, studio at talkradioeurope.com. Craig sends an email in. Will people like Cameron, your panellist, brackets, coincidentally like PM Cameron of Project Fear, stop being dishonest by claiming they absolutely know Brexit will be a disaster? He doesn't know, neither does anyone else. Youth employment is a disgrace, and yet our young people are supposedly in favour of the EU. Greece, Italy, Portugal, amongst others, are being propped up by billions of euro quantitative easing. As far as we know, they and others want to come out too. So there you go, Cameron of Project Fear.
Well, first of all, my name is Campbell, not Cameron, so that's it. But there are facts coming out on how businesses are moving, how they are deciding. So it is a factual thing that these things are happening. The Brexit thing is all hope, and nobody knows definitely what's going to happen on that. I agree there are problems to do with quantitative easing. The UK did it just as much as the EU, and the US, so that the whole world is awash with funds at the moment. And until inflation kicks in and these funds are brought back to the proper value that they should have, because it's, if you've suddenly got £100 and you're saying, well, it's £100, it's actually, we're going to treat it as if it's £200, that all the prices should go up by 100% as well. But the prices and the various costs haven't gone up as yet. That's what we need inflation for. And there's going to be one way or another, if economies start moving, there will be inflation will have to increase substantially, because the value of the dollar, the value of the pound, the value of the euro has decreased compared with, say, the gold standard or whatever. They are worth less than they were. But we're moving way off what the other things, what we've been talking about earlier. But quantitative easing is a major problem as well. The world is not a cheery place at the moment.
That's your message for 2018,
well,
is it?
Message, yeah, a cheery message for this, this. Well, unfortunately, not just for this year.
It could have been worse. You could have got involved in bitcoins, but let's not even go there. 952-784-000, the phone number, studio at talkradioeurope.com, the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. We'll move on, I think, from the issue of Brexit, that you're welcome to come back in at any point over the next 50 minutes or so. I'm looking at what's been happening in Iran, because nine more people have been killed overnight as clashes between protesters and security forces continue in Iran for a sixth day. And that is from reports coming out from the Iranian state media. In the latest violence, the central Isfahan region brought the number of reported deaths to at least 22. Six protesters died in what was described as an apparent attempt to seize guns from a police station. These protests began last Thursday, initially against price rises and corruptions, but have since spread amid wider anti-government sentiment. President Trump weighed in on this, saying in a tweet, the entire world understands that the good people of Iran want change, and other than the vast military power of the United States, that Iran's people are what their leaders fear the most. Interesting coming out, these reports coming out of Iran then, Nathan.
Yeah, and it is happening. We don't know how far it will go before the government cracks down even harder, if they do. We don't know, and we've seen this happen in other parts of the world where suddenly enough is enough and the government is basically forced to accept that. We don't know whether that will happen in Iran at this point or whether a crackdown will come. And we just kind of have to wait and see. I mean, Donald Trump, being Donald Trump, just says what pops into his mind. But I think he is correct in that the one thing that the Iranian government, as any government does, is fears the will of the people. And if you have your people rioting in the streets, you've obviously, as the government, got a problem. Now, sometimes, especially in dictatorships and so on, it's handled with force and it is put down and quashed. Whether that will happen this time or not, we have to wait and see. The longer it goes on, probably the more difficult it's going to be to do that. And they didn't do it immediately. The interesting thing is that it happened. It's gone on for days now, and it hasn't been stopped. And it doesn't look like there has been, I don't want to say a serious attempt, but the government has not put in the effort to really stomp it out, which is about the only thing they can do at this point. And they haven't done that. Why? We don't know. But we've seen this happen in other countries. And at some point, the scale tips and the government, you know, has lost the ability to really stop this. Now, whether that's what's happening in Iran or not, we don't know at this point.
I mean, we had various, Boris Johnson, the UK Foreign Secretary, has been on saying it will be watching events in Iran very carefully. Indeed, Trump, again, the latest tweet came out 21 hours ago, saying that Iran, in his own particular way, saying that Iran is failing at every level despite the terrible deal made with them by the Obama administration. The great Iranian people have been repressed for many years. They are hungry for food and for freedom, along with human rights. The wealth of Iran is being looted. Time for change. I suppose the problem here is that it's all very well to say we want regime change, but again, we wanted regime change in Iraq, and we wanted regime change in Syria, and you wanted a regime change in Afghanistan, and they have become, if you like, they have created another problem, another issue to deal with, which is perhaps even more slippery and threatening to deal with the creation of so-called Islamic State. Campbell, how would you see that? It's all very well calling for regime change, but be careful what you wish for.
Very much so, and like Brexit. Sorry, we're off.
Get away, please, from Brexit. Just
it's yes. All the countries that you mentioned, they're major problems because people tend to go for, well, we want to change. But they aren't able to dictate what is going to happen thereafter. It's much easier to break something than it is to create something thereafter from the bits. And this is what's happening, or they're wishing for. There's also within Iran, or within the Middle East, they have there's all the various religious influences. There's the Saudis. There's the various others who are against Iran. Israel, funnily enough, is against Iran, who wants to wipe Israel off the map, and various things like that. I think Iran is a major sponsor of Syria, the Syrian government, and therefore there will be links with Russia in that, more positive links, as they both support the same regime. Turkey, where is it? It's in the middle, but it's very close to everywhere there. And it's a mess once again, and to a certain extent you have to leave those countries just to sort things out for themselves and not get mixed up in them, because you're not going to be able to dictate what's going to happen. It's going to be smaller organizations within these countries that will take over. You just hope it isn't too extreme what comes along and takes over.
Claudia.
In my opinion, in recent history, all attempts of regime changes in especially Muslim countries have been an absolute disaster. One just has to see the Arab Spring. For example, Egypt under Hosni Mubarak, it was much more stable, safe and prosperous than it is now. Syria the same. Libya under Gaddafi was a civil, not civilized, but it was a stable country where there was schools, there were roads, and now the extremist jihadists have completely taken over the country and it's absolute mayhem. So I think it's best to leave these countries in peace. They need strong leaders to control their people, because in the recent history, in the last hundreds of years even, there've always been conflicts, there's always been the different religious groups fighting for power, and after the Islamic Revolution, Iran was a modern, fantastic country, but after the revolution, it became a repressive, extremist regime. So, however, that has to be controlled, because it's a nuclear power, unlike Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, that didn't pose really a huge threat. But Iran is definitely a big threat to the region, so it has to be dealt with caution.
Well, the question is, does the outside world try to deal with it, which we have seen that happen in the past, and usually not with great success, or do they just let it alone and fine, everybody, as Boris Johnson said, we're watching it, Donald Trump has weighed in, other countries weigh in because leaders are asked, and what do you think? So they come up with something they think. But is anybody going to intervene and actually do something about it? At this point, I don't think they are. And whether or not the Iranian people are going to cause this, do something about their own government, we leave it up to them. We don't know what will happen. And some of the times what happens is outside influences in their own best interest say, we've got to intervene in this, because if we don't, it's going to be bad for us. So it's really they feel in their own best interest to intervene and stop whatever. Now, what will happen in this case, we don't know.
Campbell.
Yeah, just looking at it and thinking on it just now, that it's if we look at it back and compare it with the UK, these countries are largely at the feudal stage, where there are strong barons, there is the king, they need a strong leader to work, because if they don't have a strong leader, these barons, they take over, they have the fighting amongst themselves, they pillage from the place, they take everything that's done. So there is a strong leader required. They're not at the stage, cultural stage, for democracy as Western society is used to it and has developed it, so that it could be put that way, that by having democratic votes and so on, that just depends on how people are going to treat that thereafter. But you're such a tribal thing, you're such a feudal thing at this stage, that these days democracy as we have it just doesn't work.
Well, I think another nation is going to be looking very interested at what's happening over in Iran is Israel, because obviously those two nations have quote-unquote history, to put it mildly, Iran having said that it wants to wipe Israel off the map. Any instability in this region is going to be monitored very carefully by Benjamin Netanyahu, surely, and the Israeli forces, Campbell.
Yeah, just mentioning of Israel and taking it off on a slightly different track, there's this girl who's been apparently slapped an Israeli soldier or something when during an arrest or during a search of a property, and she has now been taken by the Israelis, taken to court for doing that. And the family that she is a member of apparently is a major Palestinian activist family, and that's going to set things, it's going to create riots and whatever, and it's going to be a major spark within Israel, within the Palestinian, within that area of the Middle East. So that, 2018 is going to be an interesting year.
Any thoughts then on where we are with what's going to be happening in Iran? Again, looking very carefully at, I suppose that anything, many people would be astonished that these uprisings, these protests have been allowed to happen, because we always think of Iran as a very repressive place, even from the days, I mean, we know we've moved on from the days of the Ayatollahs, but this perhaps was perhaps a startling way to start 2018.
I think it is, and it is interesting to see that it wasn't put down one way or another using whatever force someone deemed necessary, but put down within the first couple of days. And the fact that it has continued this long, despite the fact that, yes, there is violence, is very interesting, because one would have expected the Iranian government to crack down on it and stop it. And we have seen this in other situations where, for reasons no one understands, or that certainly, you know, we the general public don't understand, the Iranian government didn't crack down to that point. Whether they will in the next, you know, couple of days and actually just stomp on this and stop it, or whether it's gotten so far already that they are not going to be able to stop it. But remember, this is not a pro-democracy demonstration. Nobody's talking about democracy here or anything like it. They're, you know, the protests started as far as, they were against corruption that exists and against the economic situation that they are in. And they don't like, you know, what their government is doing. But, you know, democracy is not really an issue. It's protesting what they've got and how far the people will go and will be able and be or be allowed to go. All we can do is wait and see. But I would guess that any number of countries are in there already trying to quietly influence one way or another what's going on. I think, you know, we'd be silly not to assume that's happening. How it will turn out, nobody knows.
Okay, were you going to come back on a point with the other one?
Just a light comment. Maybe the government wasn't too active because they were all celebrating Christmas. But it's unlikely, let's put it that way.
Not being a big Christmas country. No.
Yes, that's what I was meaning. Yeah.
And we've got a caller on the line, 952-784-4000, if you wish to get involved. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Felix here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Felix.
Right, same to you. The issue of Iran, I would like to hear Sharon and Kate, who are usually very talkative on this issue, because the so-called left has been defending and supporting Iran for a very long time. And you have on your panel there at least a Scotch guy, flat out defending the Iranian mullahs on this issue.
I don't really
flat
think
out.
I don't think I was really doing that, but carry on. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Flat out, you were defending them. You were saying that they must be kept in power because.
Are you listening? Sorry, have you got
any
the
alternative?
Right program? Yeah.
Because you said they must be kept in power because any alternative could be even worse, and then you compared the mullahs to Mubarak and to Gaddafi and to Saddam. But
that was me, yeah. By the way.
No, it was him as well. You did it too.
Yes, I agree. I was saying that it was a feudal system, and perhaps there should be strong people in power. There's got to be a king and everything like that. I wasn't supporting the particular strong people that were there at the moment. Nobody could. Nobody reasonable could do that the way things are at the moment.
But it overlooks a very simple and significant point, which is that Mubarak was opposed to Islamic Jihad and to extremism and to the Muslim Brotherhood, as was Saddam Hussein, and indeed as was Gaddafi. And in fact, Britain and Obama joined forces in order to negate the deal that Tony Blair and Bush had made with Gaddafi, and overthrew him by armed force with bombing of Libya. And the big confusion that's being created in this program is just absolutely astounding and terrible, in that they're comparing the Iranian regime, which is a fascist jihadist regime, with the regimes of Mubarak, Gaddafi, and Saddam, who for all his ills was opposed to Islamic Jihad. The situation in Iran is that there is a serious revolt against this fascist regime in Iran. Leave Israel out of it for the moment, please. There is a serious revolt by the Iranians against this fascist regime, and there are people now on this program who are saying, keep them in power. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Felix. 952-784-4000. Phone number, studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. We've had an email in as well. Apologies to Campbell. I hope that spelling is right. However, you do seem to have caught the same disease as Cameron, as well as Osborne and as Carney, Heseltine, Clark, and dozens of the others. Perhaps one day we'll hear the advantages, if they can find any, of the EU rather than the disadvantages of Brexit. We've got callers on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Peter.
Good morning, Peter. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. You'll be glad to know I've put my New Year's resolution back a year, so I'm going to continue to be a pain in the ass for 2018. So,
marvellous, marvellous. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I have to agree with Felix a bit there. I mean, I've only not long turned the radio on, but to listen to words like a strong leader to control the people, then he's bang on about your panel. I mean, anyone who wants someone in charge to control people, in my book, is not the right person to be on your show. I thought it was about democracy, but I think you're missing the bigger picture here. This is not just Iran. This is Saudi Arabia, and I think Saudi and Iran are going to go to war. It's been brewing for quite some time, and like Felix said, the left have always been very supportive of Iran, and when Barack Obama was in charge, he was very unsupportive of Israel. Now we've got Trump in charge, that has been flipped on its head, and he's one of the first countries he went out to was Saudi Arabia. So I think he's given them the green light. He's told Israel, he's told Saudi that you know, maybe now's the time to sort it out. And if anyone wants to know the truth, have a look at Operation Cassandra. Anyone heard of Operation Cassandra?
I just want to let you know that I am not a leftist by any means, and I stick to my guns, and I still believe that Muslim countries especially need strong leaders to keep civil peace in their countries, because it has been proved time and time again, whether it be Iran, Libya, removing dictators from those countries has caused more deaths, more unrest, and destruction of infrastructure, and ISIS has taken over. So, yes, I'm not a leftist, and I still... If you call democracy what there is in these countries now, where people are dying by the millions, and it's the Western democracy that has been tried to be installed in many of these countries has failed time and time again.
Well, I don't know how old you are, but in the 70s, when I was a young man, most of those countries, not all those countries, and I have an ex-sister-in-law who's Lebanese, all of them were beautiful, modern countries with a democracy that people were queuing up to visit. And that's the trick, is democracy, not some strong leader who can keep the people in control. That is not a democracy. Whether you're left or right, that is wrong. Simply wrong. You don't control people. Secondly, like I said, Operation Cassandra. Barack Obama was quite happy to allow Hezbollah to continue gun running, money laundering, and massive drug importations to continue to do this just so he could keep the Iranian peace deal going. Shipped out billions of dollars to Iran. Now, he's the man that allowed Iran to come back into the fold. He's the man that turned his back on Israel. Now it's been turned around, and Saudi Arabia and Iran, in my book, are very close to going to war. So the West want to step out, get out of the way, and let them get on with it, because the Middle East needs to...
I agree with you that the United States and its allies should not intervene in any of these countries and should just let them get on with it, because
You mean let them get on as in having a strong leader to control...
Non-intervention, because intervention has been a disaster, and as you said, Barack Obama with the Iran deal did a horrible job. Both Hillary Clinton and Obama in Libya, they did a terrible job. So I just say let these countries get on with their own business and leave them in peace. But I respect your opinion also.
Your opinion, but what I'm saying is I don't like the words control being used. If it is a genuine uprising and they're looking for democracy, all well and good, but it seems to me that the fact that Trump has been out to Saudi, the fact that he's allowed Israel to put their embassy where it should be, or at least American embassy where it should be, and recognize Israel for what they are, it seems to me that Iran and Saudi are at conflict at the moment, and they've been given the green, I think Saudi have been given the green light by the US of A. So we should stand back, watch them light the blue touch paper, and hopefully we shouldn't be too badly affected by it, and see what the outcome is naturally, rather than get involved. But that's my opinion anyway.
Thank you very much for your call in, Peter. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@talkradioeurope.com is the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe. Official, Campbell.
Every government controls their the population of the country. They control them by their laws. And if the population agrees to abide by these laws and to change it through parliamentary methods and such like through votes, then it works. Where there has to be a control, as every government, as I say, has to control its population one way or another, or guide its population. It's maybe the semantics of it. You don't want to use the word control. You want to use some other, you want to govern them, which is effectively what it is. Some countries are not prepared to follow their rule of law, and therefore they have not prepared to follow it by changing it through democracy, perhaps because democracy isn't working, because the people, the government in control, is playing with democracy and is not is playing with votes, is changing the actual decision of the people and not following the decisions of the people. In that instance, democracy is not working, and there has to be riot, there has to be revolution as the only way things are going to work. And if you look back at European countries, that's how things changed before democracy came in, before you had the vote. You had the French Revolution, you had all the wars within the UK, you had German principalities fighting against each other. Then you got Napoleon coming along as a strong man, and he had many things against him, but he also had many things for him. He did many good things. So I'm beginning to sound a bit like Trump here. Much can be said, benefits and good people on both sides, I think, is what I was trying to say. But it's just, if you carry on like that, you have to have a government has to control its people either by laws or by force, and if it wants to govern. If you're not happy with that government, there you either change the laws, or in places where the laws aren't working, democracy is not working, you change it by force.
Talk Radio Europe. Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Yes, indeed. Joined by Nathan Thomas, Campbell Fergus, and Claudio De La Torre. You can get involved with us 952-78-4000, studio@talkradioeurope.com, or the email as well as the Facebook page even, which is Talk Radio Europe Official. Richard's been on the Facebook post, and he says this is referring to the Brexit story, which has been obviously one of the main stories of 2017 and 2016, and something tells me it might just be one of the main stories of 2018 as well. 451 days to go, if you're counting. Richard says there was a fork in the road in 2016, and we picked the left-hand road. If you pick a road at a fork and another after half a mile, after half a mile the road ends, you don't keep walking over the cliff just because half a mile back you chose the left-hand road. You think again. Isn't it about time we thought again? Now that we know more, we know the basis of the decision that a lot of the people made is untrue, that immigration rates are very unlikely to go down, that prices are likely to go up. They already have since Brexit. Inflation has risen since 0.5 in June 2016 to 3.5 3.1% today. The banks are already dribbling staff away to Europe and the Far East. The services industries upon which we depend are very concerned about the lack of availability of staff. They need to continue. If we knew that the economy would suffer and we would be poor as a result, would it make any sense to continue down this road to leave the EU? When in history has the decision one day in the summer of 2016 that is the basis for our lives? Can we not just think again? Does that not make sense? That's in from an earlier topic. Thanks very much for that. And then we have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Charles. It's Bertha here.
Good morning, Bertha.
Good morning, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you.
And everybody out there in the wild world. I hope it's certainly going to be better than 2017. Back to Iran. I don't know whether any of the panel would be interested to Google a YouTube interview with the General Wesley Clark on the issue of American intervention in the Middle East. And I think that it would be wise, instead of taking information from the Western media, I think it would be wise to look a little bit beyond them and go to a source that has on the ground information within Congress in the USA. And as someone said earlier, American intervention has created an absolute bloodbath in the Middle East. And I think that we need, because there's an awful lot of death at the hands of American foreign policy, and I think instead of just trying to guess at what America is at, we should listen to people like General Wesley Clark. Anyone interested can go and have a look on Google, on YouTube, and hear him speak.
Thank you for the call in there, Bertha. 952-784-000, the phone number, studio@talkradioeurope.com is the email. Campbell.
Yeah, it's I think the interest in the Middle East previously was because of the oil. It was essential. It was feeding the Western democracies. Now that the USA certainly is largely oil sufficient in itself, it doesn't have to bother quite so much about it, and therefore places like Saudi don't have the influence that they had. Feeding the fighting and everything like that in the Middle East, it comes down to, once again, oil was money. Armaments are money as well. Where are the armaments created? Where are the major ammunition and everything like that is created? Either in Russia or in the USA. Huge armament companies over there. Even in the UK, huge amounts of money are made by these countries from fighting in the various places around the world. If there wasn't the fighting around the world, these armaments wouldn't be being used up. Therefore, the economies, the armament trade would slow down. To a certain extent, to be very cynical, that could be a reason for these things being encouraged.
And we've got another caller on the line, 952-784-000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Okay. Felix again. The issue of Wesley Clark. It's funny that Bertha, too, a left-winger, is weighing in defense of Iran, of the Iranian mullahs, and still waiting on Kate and Sharon, other left-wingers, to come in on this. Funny that these... by the way, I disagree with Peter here. He says left-wingers. I always say, Peter, so-called left-wingers, because they certainly are not in my book. They are defending the Iranian regime. The intervention, what your panel misses out, is that the intervention by America was made in 1979, the overthrew the Shah. The CIA was highly complicit in the overthrow of the Shah of Iran, who ran a secular government, a secular state, was totally opposed to the jihad. And the CIA basically, and France, by the way, basically installed Khomeini into Iran big time.
and the suffering of those people since then. The other point I disagree with Peter on is that although there is issues of Trump, Saudi Arabia and so on, we don't know how long Trump will be there, actually. And I see this in Iran now as being a real revolution from deep down within the Iranian masses. But to me, the big, big, big issue is the way these left-wingers, so-called left-wingers, Peter, always line up in defense of Iran. And I'm waiting with great anticipation for my friend Stephen Ritson later on to see what position he takes. Thank you.
I should imagine that Stephen Ritson's position is going to be something to look on, because he will be on Europe Today live from 12 o'clock. Another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on Ontario. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, good morning. I'm one of the so-called left-wingers, but I'm actually leaning to the right on other issues. Felix doesn't know any of us, the complete person. We only speak on certain issues on this station. He knows nothing about the rounded person on other issues. Ask me about education, Felix. Nobody can deny that the Saudi-led coalition has done great damage in... I'm not going to speak on Iran. I don't know enough about Iran, so I'm not going to speak on it. All I do know is that Trump is on the side of the Saudi-led coalition, and I'll say one word to people like Felix: Yemen. Thank you. Thank you to Bertha. I do miss you on the airwaves, and you've always got very good research. She researches things so thoroughly and comes up with very, very good references. I would suggest that Felix watches that video.
Right then, thanks for that, Shane. Another call on the line on 952-784-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's Bertha here. Thank you very much, Sharon. I only have one thing to say to Felix, that he's got away with attacking me over the years, and I do my research, and whether I'm a socialist or a liberal or whatever has absolutely nothing to do with what General Wesley Clark has to say. And I suggest that Felix gets a life and goes and listens to him.
Thank you very much there, Bertha. Spreading the love here in 2018, the first show. We've got another caller on the line. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What is your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kate Costa-Blanca.
Morning, Kate.
The missing third of the
Simpsons. It's the S, indeed. It's a triumph, isn't it?
I did try earlier, but, you know, someone else was saying. I think I want to do a first hand, if you like, on Iran. In the early 70s, I was teaching practice for teaching in further education, and it was the day after the general election, and the first class I had on the Friday morning was computer technicians, and it was a fairly international class, mostly of students paying high overseas rates on computer technicians from basically oil-rich countries. And I just said, okay, we won't do what I was planning to do, because everyone in the class looked very spaced out, tired, like everyone but the two British had been staying up all night watching these general election results come in. Now, I asked people just to say in three sentences what the political system in their home country was. And everyone, well, after the first person said, my country's a democracy, but the police have too much power, or my country's a democracy, but the army are too powerful, or it went on. It was getting to be quite a good joke. And, of course, the two Brits didn't really know what system they had. At the end of the class, I was leaving, picking up books, whatever, and there was a petrified Persian girl at the waiting for me and said, and she was really petrified, you will not report me to the police. And this was in the days of the Shah of Persia. And I think that most of the conversation about Iran forgets the appalling police state that was under the Shah. And that is one of the backgrounds to the appeal of the Ayatollahs, etc.
Thank you for your call in. 952-784-4000, the phone number. studio@talkradioeurope.com is the email, and the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
You're listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests joined by Nathan Thomas, Claudia De La Torre and Campbell Ferguson, as opposed to Cameron of Project Fear. I'm sorry?
And Ferguson, rather than Ferguson.
Indeed. Yeah. So, 952-78-4000, the phone number. We'll go to the phones one more time. Good morning, Coley, alive on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Okay, Felix here.
Yes, Felix.
Like one against three or four here.
Well, you did kind of call them out, Felix. So, you know, if you summon them, you know, as they said in Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come.
Charles, I'm happy, really happy with this.
Good. Happy New Year.
I'm really all for this. No, I cannot understand how people who call themselves left-wing support a regime, that is the Iranian regime, defend the Iranian regime, which hangs gays regularly off Koreans in the public. They just haul the gays. I've got pictures on my computer. Poor guys standing, waiting boldly. And they're hauled up in the air because they're gay. And the Shah of Iran did run, whatever you say, the Shah of Iran did run a secular regime. Women in Iran did not wear any veil,
mm-hmm.
No burqa, nothing. They were extremely liberated. It was an extremely liberated country as far as women is concerned. So these three ladies, Sharon, Kate, and Bertha.
Okay.
How can you possibly support a regime which tends to control women by pushing them into burqas where they can never be seen? These are women in the West living comfortably, you know, in Spain, in the West.
Okay.
And you look out on the sea, and they see women in Iran being forced to wear a tent around them, being repressed terribly, the age of consent being 11, I think, 13, and yet they're supporting it. This, to me, this conversation this morning on this program,
yes,
is a good summary, a good explanation to people of just what has happened to the socialist left wing internationally.
Right.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Felix. I think we'll leave that one and that particular point because, you know, let's begin as we mean to go on in 2018. Let's keep the personal comments. Always happy to have you with us on 952-78-4000, but let's not get to a personal attacks, if you like, or using one person to be a symbol of an entire political movement. We go to the phones again, which have gone slightly haywire, as I kind of thought they might do. 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Charles. It's Bertha again. I don't call in very often these days because I have asthma and I tend to run out of breath,
right,
which is a bit embarrassing. I would like to participate more, but Felix has really got to me this morning. I mean, it's almost laughable. You know, we hear a lot of the use of words to disempower people's opinions. Conspiracy theory comes to mind. And Felix is on one this morning. I'm a leftist. The three women that have called in, which has upset him. I don't believe Sharon had anything to say on Iran, and I think she openly admitted that she didn't know enough about Iran. Kate does some very thorough investigation, and she's well known along the coast and on this program for many, many years. And I have to take Felix to task. He is undermining two very intelligent women. Where you place me in that is entirely up to you. But what he is doing, he's attacking me on a very personal level to get his opinion across. Now, when I called in, I spoke about General Wesley Clark. I didn't mention any particular country in the Middle East. And I think if Felix wants any credibility in the future, he should be very careful about what he says. I'm particularly annoyed, and I'm very, very happy that I haven't run out of breath. I wish you all a very good morning.
Thank you so much. Great to have your calls in there. Have a lovely rest of your day. Well done. Now, we go to the lines as well. Another caller in. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. It's Carol from the Costa Blanca.
Good morning, Carol.
I totally agree with the lady that's just been on. But also, with Felix, he's talking about the Arab women wearing the burqa and stuff like this. I worked in the Middle East for a very, very long time, and I think Nathan did. I think Nathan was in Saudi Arabia, because I was in Saudi Arabia as well, and what happens in Saudi Arabia. But apart from that, all he has to do is go down to the market. I don't know where Felix lives, but if he goes down to the market, free women, not living in the Middle East, are in the market, and they're in burqas. That's a choice. They don't have to be, but that's their choice, to be in a burqa. So they you know, it's really, you know, this dictatorship he's talking about doesn't exist. Well, it does exist, but it's in the Middle East. It's a totally, and as Sharon rightly said, all you have to do is go to the Yemeni. The Yemeni is just a terrible place.
Carol, thanks for your call in there. 952-784-000, the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email. And the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official.
Europe Today. Reporting from across the region and the world.
We want to know what the UK want to do.
Europe Today.
The maintenance of the option of no deal is for both negotiating reasons and sensible security.
I think it is unthinkable that there would be no deal. It is so much in their interest as well as in ours.
Stephen Ritson.
Weekdays at midday.
I'm not against the UK, but please help us to help you.
Stephen Ritson will be following us on Europe Today at 12 o'clock. Now, I just want to go back, and we wanted to do a little bit longer on this, but of course, the great thing about Viewpoint is the fact that this is an organic show, believe it or not, where we don't know where we're going to end up in the conversations, and it's your calls, your viewpoints that make the show, and sometimes we can go off in interesting directions, I think we'll call it. But I wanted to look at this because it caused quite a lot of controversy over the so-called festive period, with President Trump saying in the East it could be the coldest New Year's Eve on record. Perhaps we could use a little bit of that good old global warming for our country, but not other countries was going to pay trillions of dollars to protect against bundle up. President Trump was lambasted for confusing climate change with weather reports. Campbell, anyone to come in on this?
Yes, I think.
In a roundabout way.
No, the comment that was made is correct, that you have local weather, you have changes like that. It was the second coldest New Year's night, apparently, in the last 100-odd years in New York. So it was cold there, yes. But generally, overall, if you'd gone to the Arctic, it was probably possibly one of the warmest New Year's nights they'd had there, because the Arctic is the place that, for some reason, I don't quite know how it works, but global warming seems to be worse. The effects of it are much worse in the Arctic and the Antarctic rather than in, for example, the equator or whatever. We're in the middle of it. We can see at the moment that there's a drought here. Yes, there's been droughts here before. Whether this is just a small-term drought or something that's going to carry on, whether it can be blamed on global warming, I don't know. We have the King of Morocco is encouraging all the people in Morocco to pray for rain, and believing in that their God will be able to assist them with that. We have to see what's happening. But generally, overall, in the longer term, global warming does appear to be happening. Everybody except for Donald Trump appears to believe that it is happening, apart from the people who would be phoning in, except we're nearly at 12 o'clock, so I'll probably get away with saying that. So there was a in The Guardian, I think it was The Guardian anyway, there was a list of books, the 100 best books of the last 100 years, and if I can find the thing here, the number one book was The Sixth Extinction by It's by a woman called Elizabeth Rolbert. And that was, there have been five extinctions throughout the world, and we are now proceeding to the sixth extinction, which has been brought about by humankind.
Well, talking of which, we're about to run out of time on today's show, so thank you for that. Thanks very much for the calls in and the comments and the Facebook posts. My thanks to my guest, Campbell Ferguson.
For such a cheery contribution.
To thank the 2000. Claudio De Torre, as always.
Thank you very much to everyone for listening.
And Nathan Thomas.
It looks like it's going to be an interesting year.
Indeed. May we live in interesting times and an interesting 2018. Stephen Ritson is up next. This program repeated at 6 o'clock.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe SL.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.